In the poster presentation that I'm giving on the research projects that I have at the moment, I've identified three projects of interest, going from the climate low frequency time scale on the left through marine science and oceanography and the weather scale in the middle, which involves hydrology. And then on the right-hand side, moving towards applications. In the first project, I'm looking at dust from the Sahara moving across the Atlantic Ocean towards Puerto Rico. When it does that, it tends to inhibit the easterly wave convection, and so therefore the chances for the formation and intensification of hurricanes in the Caribbean is reduced. And that's indicated in the hurricane trajectory maps in years of high dust events, which is on the bottom right panel in the first column. Just above that is the wind circulation that occurs in the vertical slice. So that shows an overturning circulation of low-level easterlies, which bring the dust, and upper-level westerlies, which rotate around and sink over Africa. And the combination of that gives westerly shear, which also tends to inhibit tropical cyclones. Many of us in Puerto Rico remember a very dense dust cloud that passed by us around the 20th of June this last year. And that was coming out of the Sahara Desert. So the first column panels look at the sequence of that dust storm moving along. In the Saharan region of West Africa, the temperatures during the daytime reach 50 degrees Celsius, very hot. And we have dust emissions as a result of northeasterly winds that blow there. And that dust moves across the Sahara, out onto the East Atlantic and goes past Cabo Verde Islands. In the lower left panel of the first column, we see trajectories and distributions of the dust moving along from the Sahara towards the Caribbean. And we now have sophisticated models that can do that. At the lower part of the panel on the left, we have north-south slices of the dust cloud as it's moving westwards, initially over Africa and then over different parts of the Atlantic Ocean. So we have LIDAR-based satellites that can look at the dust cloud in the vertical slice, in addition to models and satellites that can see the dust cloud in a map projection. So that work was previously submitted to a journal, and one of our meteorology students at the University of Puerto Rico, Maya Brez, was involved in that research. In the middle panel, we're looking at a different project, where we're looking at the rainfall over the Caribbean islands, including Puerto Rico in the middle, the ocean areas, some of the eastern islands like Guadeloupe, and also the western islands that extend out to Jamaica. And we have projections in the past history of research being done by not only myself, but other people in the Caribbean, which suggest a decline in rainfall or drying trend. But the higher resolution products that show the islands' orographic rainfall that's caused during the summertime also by sea breezes tends to indicate an increase in rainfall. And we notice that the amount of rain depends also a little bit on the wind speed, especially over land. These scatter plots in the middle column and the middle panels are showing higher rainfall at lower wind speeds, and vice versa, And that condition is more the case over land than it is over the ocean. If we look at the near the bottom panels of the middle column, on the 7th of June this last year, we had a condition of not much rainfall, trade winds blowing, a little bit of convergence over the island. And then when the wind speeds drop from about 10 meters per second down to about 3 meters per second, a couple days later, we had a lot more rainfall that occurred on the 10th of June. And the rainfall map there is showing the cloud band type of rainfall that occurs when the sea breeze draws the trade winds towards the island during the daytime. At the bottom of the middle column, we have model projections and measurements of soil moisture over Puerto Rico. And at 10 kilometer resolution, we can extrapolate those and show there's an increasing rainfall and soil moisture as a result of the thermal orographic rainfall that we've spoken about and shown above. As we go to lower resolution data products, 25, 50, 100 kilometer resolution, then we start to see lower soil moisture levels and drying trends in the future, which appear to be erroneous or incorrect. And that might make sense to many of you who understand that these islands, not only Puerto Rico, but some of these smaller islands like Guadeloupe and Jamaica are small relative to some numerical models that might only have a single grid point over the island, or maybe even not have a grid point over the island, but have what appears to be ocean or a condition of no islands. So one of the points here is that we've been alarmed by messages from the IPCC that the Caribbean is going to be on a drying trend, but that doesn't necessarily seem to be the case over the islands, especially the mountainous islands that are sufficiently large. We see rising trends, and not only in rainfall, but in soil moisture and in river flows. Finally, on the right-hand side, we have the final column, which is on the application side, where I was motivated during the beginning of the COVID epidemic to do some work on the seasonal cycle of influenza mortality. And I found that in the wintertime in Puerto Rico and also in America and other places, we have an increased mortality. And typically, when we talk about mortality attributed to influenza, which also includes the lower respiratory diseases like pneumonia, then we see a peak in December, January, February, and a little bit March. And that peak relates to the lower solar radiation that we get at that time of year, the cooler temperatures, and the drier conditions, which give us the higher risk at that time. And then during the summertime, July, August, September, we see much lower risk. The mortality rate drops below 100 per month on average. And it would be expected that many of the past cases that show up are also corona type, which is consistent with our current COVID-19 epidemic. So we might be able to use these to identify certain times of the year when the influenza and coronavirus epidemic mortality rate would be higher, which would be in the Christmas time just after that. And then in the summer, we should expect a lower risk. And so we could preferentially have more preventative measures during the winter rather than in the summer. And I'm showing salt spray and air pollution and some other maps there in the panels, which together help to identify some of the factors driving the mortality risk for the COVID type of influenza that we've had in the past. So we have quite a lot of good data in the past, going back to 20 years or so. Like I said, the seasonal cycle of the net solar radiation seems to be very important, and that suggests that our ability to reduce our risk to mortality from influenza depends on being outdoors, having outdoor exercise, being exposed to the sunshine, and there is more solar radiation basically in the summer and early summer. That graph there is showing that being inverted relative to the mortality rate. And there's a very close relationship there in that net solar radiation. Even the day-to-day fluctuations in the solar radiation, which might be a function of rainfall, in other words, if it's darker skies, then you're going to have higher mortality, could be an important disease precursor that could help us to predict those problems. In general summary, I'm showing that the risk is much higher for people over 85 years old, and that's in the bottom right-hand panel, that exponential graph, which is case fatality ratio versus age. And it definitely means that people who are older are more susceptible to those problems, and people that are younger have very little risk, much lower than average risk of mortality, which is around 1%. At the very bottom, we compared the seasonal cycle of the influenza mortality in three different countries, and you can see Puerto Rico, America, and South Africa. In the case of South Africa, the data shifted by 6 months because their winter is opposite to ours. But they all show a very similar response. In other words, there's a higher risk in winter, which means you have to be more vigilant during that time. Again, like I said, the sea spray and sea salt aerosols and higher temperatures and humidities also improve the health and reduce transmission of the coronavirus and in viruses in general. So we must be aware that outdoors is usually not where we're going to have risks, and it's usually indoors when you're in air-conditioned environments, dry environments, office environments, in shopping environments and that type of thing, indoor restaurants with air conditioning and that type of thing, especially in winter. You have to be aware of those risks. So that concludes my presentation of some of the research I'm doing during this last semester. Thank you.